Okay, welcome back. The latest news from the U.S. war against Russia being fought over the corpse of Ukraine is that the Zionist Jewish regime running Ukraine for the Zionist Jewish oligarchs in Ukraine and maybe elsewhere have decided now that they don't have any more army and they've got to do something. So they are putting out pleas to Eastern European countries to forcibly return all Ukrainian expatriates that have made their way out of the death machine and into Poland, for example. And Poland is right away, no problem. There's over 60,000 Ukrainian men in there, and the Poles are going to send them all back. They're going to die. They're sending them back to die in the meat grinder. They want 500,000 more bodies to sacrifice. That's what the Zionists in Kiev want. And they're going to get them, some of them, from abroad. They're going to be sending Poles more messages. Return those people and other countries as well. And I feel so sorry for the Ukrainian people. They have been absolutely destroyed, annihilated. And now the latest is the draft in Ukraine is being extended by Zelensky and his cohorts to HIV positive people, the disabled, people who are physically disabled, and women. They're going to start pulling women in and destroying them. This is a Holocaust. It's not a war, it's a Holocaust of humanity. Because the Ukrainians are not going to defeat Russia, period. It's not going to happen. Forget it. They're being destroyed. And I guarantee you that I'd be willing to bet that no Jews are being drafted and conscripted into the Ukrainian military. I'd bet on it. Maybe one or two here and there. But now they're going to start pulling women in and butchering them. Big, in Klishevka, big surrender by the Ukrainians today. And their commanders are to be commended. They don't want to get. How would you feel if you had several hundred troops under your control and you're caught in a cauldron or you're surrounded on three sides? How would you feel? And the Russians every day are sending out over the cell phone network telephone numbers to call. If you want to go ahead and surrender, we'll take you right in. No problem. They'll tell him how to do it, and they're doing it. You're going to see more and more of this. Only 400, let's say 25,000 now, 425,000 Ukrainian men largely, although there are 60,000 women in the Ukrainian military. So approximately 425,000 Ukrainians have been sacrificed by their Zionist leaders into these suicide wave, human wave attacks against a far superior military. No chance of accomplishing any nothing. This is really despicable. It's a war crime against the Ukrainian people. Mitchell Henderson is back with us tonight. Hello, Mitch. Welcome back.
Hello. Hello. And your little statement there just raised an ugly thought in my head. So they're going to ask to extradite all Ukrainian male citizens
Right.
overseas. So what will be next? Ethnic Ukrainians that are citizens of other countries next? Will that
Well,
happen? And will people send them?
I
I
don't
think they will.
I think I don't rule anything out, Mitch. This is so ugly.
Oh, I don't either. Well, the reason I thought of this is my grandmother's Ukrainian. So they might ask me, and I will not go. I detest them. So anyway, so let me talk about the Ukraine front because it's all bad news, okay? So it is widely accepted in the West that Ukraine cannot possibly achieve any of its goals. This has prompted Zelensky to make a high-profile arrest of a Ukrainian oligarch for corruption because opinion polls showed that 77.6% of Ukrainians say that Zelensky is directly responsible for all of the corruption in Ukraine. This poll was taken in July 2023, just a couple months ago, by Ilko Kucherov of the Democratic Initiatives Foundation, who also stated, and I quote, corrupt officials are no less dangerous of an enemy at this stage than Russia, and Ukrainians want such people removed from power. 70% of all aid to Ukraine goes into their pockets, end quote. Okay? That's from them, not from our media, but from them. Okay? When the war started in 2021, Transparency International listed Ukraine as number 122 on a list of 180 nations for honesty. Corruption always gets worse when a nation is at war. There's more opportunities for corruption and less oversight.
Sure. Right.
Reports from Ukraine describe a comprehensive form of corruption that touches everything. Just as an example, black market organ marketing has escalated in Ukraine because they hooked up with Albanian organized crime that is protected by the United States and Kosovo. They sell organs to Europe. Who do they harvest organs from? Okay, I got this list actually from Ukraine. Okay, first, Russian soldiers captured live. That is why on prisoner exchanges, only about 100 Russians are exchanged for 1,000 Ukrainians. They are the premium group because they are healthy. They're soldiers. They're in good shape. The second are organs harvested from all wounded Russian soldiers. Not a single wounded Russian POW has been returned.
Is this true?
Third are healthy.
Are you taking this to the bank? Is that true?
Yeah, this is
not one wounded Russian POW.
Ukraine.
Oh my God!
I have never heard of one.
That in and of itself should be enough to trigger the Russians to roll this crap up and stop it. Just stop it. And why do the people in Odessa, Kiev, and Kharkov still have water and power? Why? Because they don't want to offend the Ukrainian people and, the evil Russians cut off our water and power? No, it'd be that Zionist Bolshevik crew in Kiev is responsible for you losing your water and power. Why do they still have water and power? I don't get it. You're fighting a war, you take the damn nation down, or you don't. This is stupid.
Yeah, I think next week I'm going to get into that a little bit more. So third are healthy Ukrainian soldiers who are deserters, soldiers arrested for being AWOL and draft dodgers. The ones that they shoot that run on the battlefield, their organs are immediately harvested, okay? So fourth are returned Ukrainian POWs because they know that the Russians treat them good. Russia knows this will happen, but sends them back so that they can learn just how horrible the Zelensky government is. Fifth are Ukrainian soldiers that sustain grievous injuries and will require the state to take care of them or require too much medical attention. This is sort of like, did you hear this thing in Canada? There was a female corporal who is a paraplegic from combat, and she's been petitioning the VA in Canada for 5 years now to get a wheelchair ramp on her house. And so the Canadian government finally answered her and said, hey, we will help you with MAID, the medical assistance in dying. So they offered to go ahead and kill her. And the thing about it
is
woman is a Paralympian. She's a Paralympian. She competes. She's in great
shape. I get it.
And she's got an active, happy life, you know?
That is appalling. Absolutely appalling. Stunning. They offered to, in case you missed that, they didn't offer to build her a wheelchair ramp. This Paralympian, this hero of Canada, was given, apparently, an offer of assisted suicide. They went and put her to death.
Exactly.
Put her to sleep. This is Orwellian. It's beyond Orwellian. Oh, man.
Oh, it's terrible. Six are Ukrainian citizens that are deemed unpatriotic. This means something as simple as looking at RT on their cell phones. okay? Seventh are seriously wounded civilians. They did not make it after all. Eighth are orphaned children not suitable for sex trafficking. The state does not want to be burdened with too many orphans. A few orphans are kept for display, just like Russian POWs. Wounded foreign mercenaries fighting in Ukraine. They didn't make it after all. Ethnic Russian civilians living in Ukraine as Ukrainian citizens. Their children, daughters, and wives are sold to prostitution rings if they are attractive enough. 11, that freshly dead regardless of who they are. Many of those veterans who go to cemeteries in Ukraine no longer have their organs. The state keeps all of the money earned. Actually, it goes into the oligarch's pocket. Let me add that to save money, these operations are carried out on living and wide-awake patients. Some of these doctors have come forth to complain about the extreme cruelty of removing a heart or liver from an awake patient without anesthesia. Anesthesia takes way too much time and costs too much money.
Oh, my.
And they're on a production line, you see. So the organization that runs this is the Kosovo Liberation Army. They have been harvesting the organs of Serbs, Gypsies, and Albanians that oppose the KLA. This is just, conjecture. Carla Del Ponte brought this to the attention of the International Criminal Tribunal and presented it to Swiss prosecutor Dick Marty. However, the European Union closed any further investigation, and the United States formally protects the KLA and all of their criminal activity. The CIA actually receives funds from these operations because they're protecting it, so they get protection money. The nation of Albania facilitates this organ trade. So every corruption in Ukraine is under the auspices of the Security Service of Ukraine, or the SBU. The head of the SBU is Zelensky, and directly under him is SBU Commander Vasyl Maliuk. The SBU answers only to Zelensky. Keep in mind that Maliuk was fired as the chief of the SBU Department of Organized Crime and Corruption for his ties to organized crime and corruption in 2021. When the war started, Maliuk was placed in charge of the SBU. The corruption is comprehensive. The SBU runs drugs, prostitution, pornography, and human trafficking. The SBU even dumps toxic waste in Ukraine for money from other countries. There is no crime they will not commit to make money. What do they do for free? Send agents among the population to execute any enemies of the state. They also sweep into any areas retaken by Ukraine to hunt down and murder those who did not flee to Ukraine when the Russians came. Folks, the UN knows about all of this, all of it. They also know that the cluster bombs that we send to Ukraine are used on Russian civilians. They also know that Ukraine's desperate measures of attacking civilian targets deep inside Russia are war crimes. The United Nations last week told Ukraine to stop the war crimes. The attacks have actually increased since then. The United States is complicit in these war crimes. They help plan and facilitate making them happen. To deflect from his own guilt in the corruption, Zelensky had Ukrainian billionaire Igor Kolomoisky was arrested for money laundering and corruption. Oh. Kolomoisky is a Jewish oligarch. He laundered $10 million.
Oh,
Zelensky and his cronies have siphoned off $84 billion of United States money alone. Okay, so he's just a guy who's a patsy, a fall guy. So Sunday, Zelensky fired Defense Minister Reznikov for the failure of the great Ukrainian counteroffensive and for corruption, of course. If you remember, about a month ago, Reznikov was in line to replace Zelensky if Zelensky was killed. Then, about 2 weeks ago, they had that change in Yermak, another Zionist Jew, was slated to replace Zelensky. Note that Zelnikov is a Jewish Zionist, as is Yermak. The guy taking Zelnikov's place is Ruslan Umanov, a Tatar Muslim. A Christian will never be Minister of Defense because they are sending Christians off to be slaughtered. Umanov is starting another half a million man mobilization. This will include those that paid to dodge the draft, even those who moved to Europe. Ukraine is issuing extradition requests for all Ukrainian men that fled to Europe and America. This time, people with HIV and hepatitis C are being drafted. This is absolute desperation. I have been to combat. I had lots of scratches, lacerations, and abrasions just in the course of a fight. I challenge anybody who's been to combat and not gotten a bruise or a cut on their hands or their arms or something. It's going to happen, okay? Because you have to jump in places and et cetera, et cetera. The problem with HIV soldiers is that when they get wounded, there is lots of blood and body fluids. Just administering first aid to an HIV-positive soldiers will cause you to get infected. This policy also says that Ukraine really does not care about their soldiers. Not only that, but what are they going to do when they harvest the dead people's organs? Are they going to start selling HIV and hepatitis-infected organs on the market? And they will do it because they don't care. It's a liver.
They don't care. No.
Yeah. You pay for it, and then if you die from HIV, that's your problem. This is Zionist Jewish morality. Okay. Umanov can start clean. Umanov has even less military training and experience than Zelnikov, who at least served 2 years in the Soviet Air Force. Umanov has zero military training and experience. His main qualification is he is not an ethnic Ukrainian, and he is not a Christian. So fingering a patsy is how the corrupt sodomite Zelensky attempts to cover his tracks. Just to be sure, last week purchased a $5 million home in Egypt on the Red Sea. This is an area where many celebrities have homes. He bought the house next door to Angelina Jolie's home. Let everybody know that.
Human
area.
Garbage.
Everybody knows where he lives.
All these rich slime.
Let me ask you, why, when he has a mansion on Miami Beach, a party town, would he move to Egypt? Because he needs to find a place where he can avoid being arrested for the inevitable war crimes. Zelensky can see what is coming, and he wants to be prepared. Okay, as for the war on the front, the U.S. News tries to report anything positive about Ukraine's efforts. At the same time, spokesman for the National Security Council, John Kirby, said Friday that American leaders need to stop telling everyone how badly Ukraine is doing. The most powerful truth censor in the world is the sodomite Zionist Zelensky. He runs the government of the United States, people. Okay. So once it was exposed...
Well, let's take it a little step further. International Bolshevik Zionism runs the government of the United States.
Sure. Once it was exposed that people were paying $10,000 to get out of being drafted, Zelensky fired all recruiters and assigned veterans of the front lines to be recruiters. He further stated that the Ukraine will start asking for the West to extradite these people back to Ukraine. If they refuse to go to the front, they will harvest organs from them. The truth is that Zelensky and Malyuk got half of all these bribes. There is only one group of people exempt from having their organs harvested and exempt from the draft, Jewish Ukrainians. Almost all Ukrainian Jewish men of military age have left Ukraine and will not be extradited back. Israel wants to extradite them back. Ukraine's chief rabbi, Moshe Reuven Ashman, said that half of the Jews in Ukraine have left. He publicly said that Nazi military units are not anti-Jewish and defended them. We live in a strange times indeed when the rabbi goes to bat for Nazis. Let me just say that the Ukrainian Nazis are not actual National Socialists. I have communicated with some, and they actually know very little about National Socialism. They are what I call pop Nazis because they like the symbolism of the Nazis but know nothing about National Socialist economics. They know nothing about it. What distinguishes National Socialism from any other political philosophy is their economic agenda. These are just ignorant hooligans posing as Nazis. American National Socialist thought leaders are the ones who brought this to my attention. They reject the Ukrainian Nazis as being National Socialists if for no other reason than their commander and chief is the Zionist Jew Zelensky. It just came out at Disney World, the Blood Tribe in Florida had a big rally. Their leader, he's a former Marine named Christopher Polhouse, and he publicly said that he supports Biden because Biden sends weapons to his brothers in Ukraine. Okay, these people are totally fake Nazis. I even got word that actually this is they tried to get people to join this blood tribe so that they can keep track of them. Okay. It's just an organization set up by the U.S. government. Okay. On the battlefield, Ukraine is cheering their progress on the Robotyne front. They have managed to take most of the village of Robotyne. Last week, Ukraine lost 960 dead trying to take this town. Just yesterday, they lost 115 dead. This is a Russian kill box. You see, the Ukrainians launched their own counteroffensive on June 4th and were slated to take Robotyne by June 6th. It is now August 1st. When they got this far, and soon the weather is going to make further advances difficult, okay? The counteroffensive failed because Zelensky stubbornly wanted to take Bakhmut back, even though it was not of any strategic value. The Ukrainian army is trying to advance south of Bakhmut so they can envelop it. They have no problem talking about Bakhmut because it is supposedly their main effort. This battle is by Kadima. In the past week, 2,300 Ukrainians were killed in action, and 385 were killed just in the last 24 hours. Okay, keep this in mind, okay? Robotyne is supposed to be the big counteroffensive, but they're putting far more effort into Bakhmut, okay, which will get them nothing. They really don't want us to know this. You see, the Ukrainians want to complain that they are not winning because they are using U.S. tactics, and they say America has not fought a conventional war against a conventional modern army since World War II. That is very true. Every war we fought since World War II, we had air superiority. We have not had to fight anyone that has had air superiority like the Ukrainians have to. American light infantry tactics aren't really adapted to dealing with air power because they have fought with air superiority for the past 78 years. However, to be fair, Ukraine spread its forces over the entire front and did not mass enough troops to actually make a breakthrough on the Zaporizhzhia front as they wanted to. In other words, the Ukrainian leadership failed to concentrate forces for a main effort, leaving the rest as an economy of force formations to hold territory. They did not select a single main effort, but rather attempted to attack on many fronts. This is extremely poor military tactics. It is dividing your forces, and it always is a recipe for failure.
Mitch, question, please. Who is really pulling the strings on Ukrainian military tactics? The Pentagram has to be intrinsically involved with all the major decisions. Has to be. I suggest the UK is involved, but is it just? Go ahead. It's got to be the U.S.
It's NATO. I mean, they're just telling you it's NATO tactics that they say is failing them. So they're blaming it on NATO, okay? In the last week, Ukraine has sent the brigade bordering Transdniestria to the Eastern Front and one from Lvov. Almost all forces are now on the Eastern Front. If you look at the front, they just have all these units on the Eastern Front. And you know, they went on the invasion for Robotyne with just four brigades, and they've got 50 of them on the front, you know? It's insane. Almost all forces are now on the Eastern Front. My question is that if Robotyne is such a glorious success, why didn't they send these two fresh brigades there to reinforce that success? Because remember I complained about Putin not reinforcing success? Well, the Ukrainians are not doing it either. I can tell you why. These murderous thieves fight battles and throw troops' lives away to impress the Western press so they can keep the cash cow going. All activity is for propaganda purposes alone. The propaganda supports the con, which makes them money. Maybe that's what they've always been doing. You see, the Russians set up a defense in depth. There was a front line with minimal troops on it. Although that was the first line of defense. So after 3 months, the Ukrainians are finally getting near the first line of defense.
Right,
after
right.
three
right.
months.
Yeah.
I cannot blame the Ukrainian soldiers. It is their leadership that is clearly at fault. Any soldier can be a great soldier, but if you have lackluster NCOs and officers, you are throwing your life away. I'll just tell you right now, do not let your sons and daughters join the U.S. military for this very reason. We have zero leadership in our military. Generals and admirals are nothing more than woke politicians, and most field grade officers are nothing more than woke Marxist political commissars. Actual leadership would be a crime in our current military. So let me go on about Prigozhin and the assassination. I keep digging into that. Okay, yeah. So in 1980, U.S. and French intelligence shot down an Italian airliner, says former Italian Prime Minister Giuliano Amato. He said that the French and Americans used a French portable anti-aircraft missile to shoot down Italia Airlines Flight 870 with 81 people on board in an attempt to kill Muammar Gaddafi, who was not on board. This was published by Italy's Repubblica newspaper and reported here by ABC News. He called on French President Macron to stop hiding the truth. Gaddafi survived because former Italian Prime Minister Bettino Craxi warned him that it was going to be shot down. I'm asking, why didn't he warn the 81 innocent people aboard that were going to die? This is us people and our leaders. Are our lives safe with our leadership? George Bush allowed 3,000 Americans to die on 9/11. Okay, they don't care about us. They want us dead. Your government hates you and wants to have sex with your kids. That's what your government is about. It hates you and it wants to have sex with your kids. I bring this up to once again point out that when Russia assassinates somebody, they just kill the target. But when the CIA does it, they could care less how many innocent people have to die. So let me try to explain the Wagner Group. First of all, it is not the only private military company in Russia. There are many. The next biggest company is called Redoute, which means redoubt, and they fight in Ukraine also. There are many such companies. They include Wagner, Redoute, Patriot, Fakel, which means torch, and the Slavonic Corps. Okay, these other ones were set up by military people, like Spetsnaz people, special troops and stuff set these companies up. The only one set up by a civilian was Wagner Group. Okay, these companies act similarly to American and British military contractors. Wagner has what was different in several aspects. Wagner made military deals directly with African nations. They were giving mining concessions. The other companies have contracts with the Ministry of Defense, just like American contractors have contracts with our government. Wagner had not, because he was close to Putin. After the mutiny, Wagner had to come under the Ministry of Defense also. The contract between the MOD and the private military companies meant that each of their soldiers had to sign a contract. Prigozhin had flown to Africa and Syria to get those contracts. The MOD said that if there are no contracts, the mercenary companies and soldiers could not use Russian MOD assets like military bases or military airfields. Africa is vitally important in this Third World War, so the Kremlin needs to have tight control of its PMCs, because now it's really got to worry about public relations. Putin and Prigozhin were friends. Prigozhin had acceded to all that Putin asked him, and they were on the cusp of extending services in Africa. This is another reason the CIA wanted him dead. That and that he scammed them out of $7 billion. The CIA could not let that go. It was big money for them also. If you remember when they had this mutiny, the William Burns, the head of the CIA, he says, oh, we have nothing to do with this, nothing at all. Okay, so, if he says they had nothing to do with it, they had everything to do with it. Okay, so let me go on to World War III in Africa. The coup in Nigeria is a fight for independence. The arrogance of the French has no bounds. Nigeria declared the French ambassador persona non grata and gave him 48 hours to leave. Macron said that the government of Nigeria cannot ask him to leave because they are not the legitimate government. The people of Nigeria thinks their government is theirs. Where in diplomatic law does it say you can stay in the nation that asks you to leave? Okay, you have to remember that when diplomatic law was written, international diplomatic law, That law pertained to countries, and it pertained also to if there's a change of government in those countries, like if there's a revolution or there's a coup or whatever.
Yeah.
The nation is still the nation, and under diplomatic law, you have to do as they say. So Niger revoked the French ambassador's diplomatic immunity, ordered the police to arrest and deport him from the country. To make him come out of the embassy, they ordered all electricity, water, and sewage to be cut off. Massive crowds of protesters then surrounded the French military base in Niamey, screaming at the French soldiers to leave. So, you know, respect for democracy. When 78% of the people are out in the streets telling you to get the hell out, I think you have a duty to get the hell out. When the government of that country tells you to get out, I think you should get out. Okay.
What are your thoughts, Mitch, about Macron and his ego launching a French directed invasion of Niger using all the troops from the African countries that are still under the thumb of France? What do you think?
Yes,
we're going to see a war here?
Well, let me tell you, I saw in the African news that the people in Ghana and the people in Nigeria are apoplectic with their leaders. They do not want to go to war with Niger. They do not want that to happen. They call their leaders Uncle Toms in service of the colonial white supremacist masters. That's what the news is calling their leaders right now, okay?
Got it.
So you have to remember that we have this CRT and all this here in the United States. Well, you have to understand the views in Africa are much more stringent than they are here. Okay, they're much more absolute than they are here. I mean, they have their own country and they have to eat crap from America and France. They don't like it. Okay. So the United States is not pushing the issue because we have 1,000 troops in Agadez in the north. We want to stay there. We spent $110 million to build this spy base. It is our biggest drone base in Africa. Because we don't treat the new government like dirt, France has accused the United States of treason against an ally. This is old, though. France was a full participating member of NATO until the 1956 Suez Crisis. In this operation, the British and French wanted to seize control of the Suez Canal in Egypt, because Egyptian President Nasser was pro-Soviet. Their plan was to talk Israel into invading Egypt so that they could send British and French troops in to take control of the canal to protect it from the Israelis, who they egged on to attack. Okay? So, you know, if this is not like total Zionism, I don't know what is. They're in bed with them completely, okay?
Yep.
So, President Eisenhower, however, put the kibosh on the operation and insisted that French, British, and Israeli troops pull out. In 1959, when de Gaulle became president of France, he took the French military out of the NATO command structure and kicked all U.S. bases out of France. The French have been calling America traitors for a very long time. This is why we do not obsess over it. We tried to make up, though. France is losing its influence in Africa. France is the last colonial power in Africa and depends heavily on African resources. Mm-hmm. France gets a lot of oil from Gabon. So there was a military coup in Gabon. This was different, though. No French nationals had to hide or leave the country, and all French industries in Gabon functioned normally. The oil production did not even pause for a minute. The coup leader is a cousin of President Ali Bongo. Yesterday, African Intel, they're on Instagram, published that the Gabon coup was an American-French coup that took place in order to preserve the Bongo dynasty and forestall any change that the people of Gabon would get their country back. It was telling. The news coverage did not mention any breaking of relations or of any demands to put the crippled Ali Bongo back in power. By crippled, I mean he had a stroke like a year ago or so, and he's not capable of,
how old is he?
Doing very much. Okay.
Was that a suspect
Even
stroke?
EU Foreign Minister Joseph Borrell stated that the Gabon coup was not the same thing as the Niger coup, and that it was a good coup, not a bad coup, you see. So not all coups are equal. If you're a coup where the United States and France overthrows your government, that's okay. If the people overthrow the government, that's not okay, because we have to save democracy, Jeff. Okay.
Oh, of course.
So,
yes.
So the Niger coup is a war for independence and a liberating of the Niger people from French rule. The Gabon coup was to keep the people of Gabon enslaved to French and U.S. interests. Last week, Colonel Douglas McGregor opined about the Nigeria situation. I just want to read you what he had to say, okay?
Sure.
He said, we are involved in there because we built an airstrip in Nigeria and we marched in there to defeat Islamists. The truth is there weren't many Islamists until we showed up. Now there are lots of Islamists. What's wrong with that picture? And how? And now it turns out that the whole population, in addition to hating the French, has decided that they hate us, too. So we have had a coup in Niger that's now being branded by the Algerians as well as the neighbors and people saying, well, we trained them, we gave them assistance, and they turned on us. We have this unfortunate habit of seeing ourselves as always wearing the white hat, always doing everything right, and we miss the truth. The truth is soldiers, sailors, and airmen and Marines do what they are told. They'll go anywhere you ask them to go. They'll put their lives on the line, but it does not always make sense, and sometimes it may be for profit, not for national interest, not for the interests of the American people. And that is the problem, and no one's even watching this thing. So, in short, Biden wastes troops' lives just like Zelensky does. So, in the long run, the purpose of the 1964 Hart-Sellers Immigration Act was to ensure that the United States welcomed people from every nation to America so that we could argue that every nation should welcome a multinational American state into their nations, a sort of stealth colonialism. We are the evil empire.
Oh, yeah.
Macron has been taking lots of flack from African nations in the last few years. Every time Macron gave a speech after meeting with an African leader, his patronizing and smugly condescending comments were called outright lies to his face. I've watched many of these. The president of Namibia did it. The president of Rwanda, Zambia. I mean, just everybody just tells him, no. I saw the president of the Democratic Republic of the Congo just say, that's a lie. When Macron had made a statement, he called them a lie. He told them it was a lie to his face. Okay. Mm-hmm. So France wanted an invite to BRICS summit, but Russia said no. Algeria wanted to join BRICS, but France offered benefits to India if they would veto Algeria from joining BRICS. Algeria was a French colony which has bad relations with France. You see, France wanted petroleum from Algeria, but Algeria won't sell it to them. So France wanted to buy petroleum from Libya, but Libya wanted to sell to Italy. So France talked the U.S. into attacking Libya and overthrowing Gaddafi in order to get Libyan oil for France. If you remember the 2011 NATO attack on Libya, Italy would not participate because it was to their detriment. It was the NATO attack on Libya, which was not sanctioned by the U.N., which created Islamist terrorism in the Sahel to begin with. France's selfish and arrogant policies have brought hell to the people of the Sahel. At the time of the 2011 attack, I was wondering, well, why isn't Italy jumping in on this thing, too, because they refused to participate. Well, the press never told us why Italy didn't want to participate, you see. So Algeria also has an important but a rarely publicized aspect of the war on terrorism, and this is important, people. In 1992, the GIA, Islamic rebels, went on the rampage in Algeria. Terrorists went to beaches and cut off the heads of women caught wearing bikinis.
Yeah.
They captured and murdered French and Italian citizens that they caught there. Okay, who put them up to this? France and America did. Okay. However, they did not attack Americans. Why? Because these Islamic terrorists were called Afghanis because they had been trained, armed, and funded by the CIA to fight the Russians in Afghanistan. The CIA then used these terrorists to destabilize other nations to bring them under Western control. We create the problem, then we offer military assistance. So France and the United States pushed the GIA on Algeria, which was non-aligned. In 1994, we had the same Afghanis attack Chechnya, and again in 1999. Take note that neither Russia nor Algeria accepted American aid, and they defeated their Islamic guerrillas in just a few years.
That's right.
Okay?
That's right. Yeah.
We have been in the Sahel for 12 years, and the problem has only gotten worse. That is why the nations of the Sahel want us out. On 9/11, the CIA decided to have the Islamists finally attack Americans so they could create a crisis that they could rescue us from, if we'll just give up our Fourth Amendment rights and, you know,
just
stuff like this.
No problem.
Yeah. So just think, they are impoverishing us and destroying our lives in order to protect us from a climate apocalypse that simply is not happening. We fall for it. This is why the Zionist globalists call us goyim, which means cattle. Funny, but if you look this word up, you will see it translated on the internet as meaning nation. There is a precedence for this. The Korean word gook actually means people. For example, the word for Korean is Hanguk, and the word for American is Miguk. However, the word gook is used as a pejorative term towards Asians and is widely understood as such. Goyim was a pejorative term for Gentiles that has just done the reverse. They made it into an innocuous term meaning nation. That is brainwashing. This is Orwellian. If you want to see a real translation of what goyim means, you're going to have to go to find an old book in a university library, a Hebrew dictionary, and look it up. Because the internet now says it just means nation; it doesn't mean cattle anymore.
Uh-huh.
This is what they're doing. They're changing our language to make our thinking different.
Okay? Semantic wars.
So. Yeah. So, yeah, anyways, this is just an ungodly mess. What's going on? And you know, people, it's just going to get worse and worse. And you know, can you write your congressman? No, the congressmen make money off of this. This is you know, these congressmen, these senators, they do not represent the American people. You know, how come we've lost, like, the First Amendment, the Fourth Amendment, and we're losing the Fifth Amendment, too, because now the FBI says, no, you have to answer the questions whether it incriminates you or not. And Congress and their hearings are saying the same thing. Okay, so what's happening to our Constitution? Well, it doesn't mean anything. It's going away. And who is it that's supposed to correct that? The Supreme Court. Are they correcting it? No, they are not. There's nobody in the government of the United States that is on our side, American people. They don't care about us. Like I said, what our government wants to do, and I'm talking about Congress, Senate, the Supreme Court, and the executive branch of government, they all want you dead, and they want to have sex with your kids. That's what our government stands for. It does not stand for the Constitution. It stands for impoverishing and destroying your life and having sex with your kids. That's what the United States government is about.
You summed it up. I couldn't argue with that. Never. You got it perfectly stated. That's what it is. Sickening. Absolutely sickening.
Oh, yes, it is. It is. I mean, you know, the thing about the corruption in Ukraine, let me reemphasize, now that they're drafting HIV and hepatitis people, there'll be HIV-positive livers, hearts, and other things sold on the black market in Europe.
Well, don't forget also that anyone who's taken one of these COVID injections is also full of spike protein, as are their livers. All their major organs are. mRNA, spike. You get a transplant with that, you're done. You're toast. Same idea.
Oh, yeah. You're getting compromised goods there, you know?
Right.
They're not, you're not getting the right thing. But you see, criminal organizations, they never care. They never care about the people that buy the thing. They just care about selling it to you. I mean, in Mexico, they're putting fentanyl in everything, including cocaine and meth, and so they're putting fentanyl in everything.
Yeah.
Because it takes just a little bit of fentanyl to give you a feeling, okay? And that makes it cheaper for them. So doing it to make things cheaper, but they're also killing off their customers, okay? So, but they don't care. There'll be more customers for them. So they just don't care about people, you know? This doesn't matter to them. And the KLA and Kosovo, I mean, these are monsters. Even when we went to Kosovo, we had already talked about the Albanian organized crime and stuff. That was already, as long as the wars were going on in Yugoslavia, the KLA was making big money off of black marketeering and stuff, okay? And we knew that when we went in there, and we've protected them, okay? We have protected them. Listen, we're an evil empire, and we protect evil people. We protect evil people like Zelensky. We do not protect good people that just want to mind their own business and live their lives like in Nigeria. We're not going to protect them, okay? Because they just want to live their life, you know? And living their life isn't like us living their life, our lives. Their lives are much simpler, okay? And by simpler, I mean they don't have any wealth there, so everybody's life is about every day going out and getting what you need to live for that day. There's no planning ahead to next week or next month. You know, that may not even happen and stuff. So in Nigeria, by ECOWAS sanctioning Nigeria, they're just killing the poorest people on the face of this earth. They're making their life so much harder. And do you see the people in Nigeria are already feeling this? Do you see them out there saying, oh, you got to put the bazoom back in so we can get food? No, these people will go without food to get rid of France, the United States, and bazoom and all this nonsense. They will go do anything to get their country back. So, I don't know. My sympathy is with the people of Nigeria. They should be allowed to have their own country and live their own lives their own way.
Self-determination, you know? It's the oldest theme.
Sure.
It is, and you couldn't be more correct.
Sure. Not everybody has to live like Americans want them to live. Or let me put it this way. Americans don't want people in other countries to live like we do. Americans are fine with other people minding their own business. It is the woke Bolshevik, Marxist, satanic people who want to shove everything down people's throats. Tell me why it's important that the whole world embraces LGBT culture. Why is that important? That's important to who? That's important to Satan. That's who it's important to. Satan wants to do this. Satan loves to rub your face in crap, you know. It's just what he does, okay? So if you look at the whole of Ukraine and what's going on there, what is Satan doing to Ukrainian people now? He's shoving them underfoot, shoving their faces in the dirt. That's what he's doing, because that's what Satan does. He doesn't do good, nice things for people.
No.
You know?
No, sir.
That's why they say you can tell a good tree because it bears good fruit and a bad tree because it bears bad fruit. What kind of fruit is Zelensky bearing in Ukraine? It's horrible fruit.
I agree. This is bad. So your call, France is not going to go away quietly into that good night. They're going to cause trouble down there. Sounds like.
They're gonna end up killing millions of people.
Lots of
for
people.
Their uranium. I mean, just think of this. The 90% of the people in Niger do not have any electricity. All that uranium goes to France, and that uranium from Niger supplies 30% of all the energy to France. Their electricity, they all have electricity in France, you see? So, you know, how just is that? How right is that? Nigeria gets $11 for every 280, I think an ounce is $281 of uranium, pure uranium, and Nigeria only gets $11 out of that. That is obscene. You know,
it's
immoral.
It's despicable. You don't even have enough words for it. Yeah, those people have been ripped off forever. Ever. That's what Europeans do. I don't know how they're ever going to honestly fare with black leadership down there. They just can't compete. It's like the woman in South Africa, black woman, Very well spoken.
Mm-hmm.
Said it hasn't worked. We are not able to administer a first world country. We need to bring the whites back to lead this country and govern it. We were doing fine under them. In other words, she's saying apartheid was no big problem.
It's a mess over there now.
They can't do it. They just can't do it.
I've talked to a lot of people. Well, listen, one of the things is they can do a little bit better if they can benefit from their own resources. They can do a little bit better.
If they can. They don't have the tech to get it out. And the people who are in there doing it, look what they've done in, I guess it's Nigeria. The oil, petroleum industry has polluted so much of that country. Crazy. Anyway, we've got to run, Mitch. Real quick, final comment. Anything?
Oh, no, I was just going to say, I had a Nigerian doctor, and he told me that Nigeria would be a first world country now if it wasn't for the politicians. And what? That's what's coming into view right now is Tinubu is the Uncle Tom of Africa. He's oppressing his own people for the benefit of the colonialists.
Got it. Okay. So, all right. You be safe. We'll talk to you next week. A lot of things happening. All right? Be well.
Oh, yes. It's picking up.
Okay.
It's picking up fast.
Yeah, it is. Okay, Mitch. Good night.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. Thanks to everyone for being with us tonight. We'll be back tomorrow night, Tuesday. And again, another full plate already of information for you. So we'll talk tomorrow. Take care.